Mark chapter 11 is where we're at. I trust that you found it by now. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to read from verse 12 down to verse 21. We read these verses responsive. That means I read the first verse. You join me in every other verse. I'll begin in verse 12. We'll go all the way down to verse 21, just like that. Mark chapter 11, I'll begin reading in verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Here's what we're going to preach on this morning. Is it all for show? Is it all for show? Let's pray and jump right into it. Now, Lord, I'm thankful that the Word of God is beneficial, profitable for us. And Lord, I believe every single person this morning can glean, can gain, can grow because of your word. So pray now that you'd help us. Hearts to be open, that's what we ask. Ears to be listening. Minds to be engaged. And Father, a spirit that is willing, submissive to you. Help us in these things. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Talk just to start with a little bit, because this is kind of an interesting story. It may throw you off, because it does seem kind of odd, him taking it out on the tree like that. Now, notice this. As you read the Bible, it's important to understand that Jesus never did anything by chance or by accident. He was very purposeful in how he lived his life. Every act he did on purpose. Every word he spoke was a sermon in itself. And he did it all. Now understand this. He did everything he did, every word he said, every act he did it all without ever committing a sin. So when you read whatever Jesus did, you know, number one, he did right. He never committed a sin. So you may look at some things and you scratch your head and say, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. But know this, if Jesus did it, it was right. He always did right. And we come to this fig tree, and it seems like if it was us, now we understand Jesus did right, but if it was us, it seems like someone just got mad and threw a fit. He's hungry. He shows up. No fig. Basically, well, who took my figs? That's kind of almost like what you might think he's thinking. Well, who took my figs? He gets mad and he curses the tree. Well, that seems kind of extreme. Why get mad at the tree? Because someone took the figs. He curses the tree. When I say curse, I don't mean he cussed. I mean he brought a curse upon it. He said, fig tree die, in shortened words, and the tree died. Now, why did he do this? Did he do this just simply because he's throwing a temper tantrum? No. He's doing this because he's mad at a tree because there's no figs? No. Let me tell you why he's doing it. He's doing it as an example. He's doing it as an illustration about something else is going on around, showing them that there is an issue, and he's using this fig tree as a, just as a sermon illustration, if you will, to try to teach them an important lesson. want you to go with me for a moment. We've got to take some time, just a few minutes this morning. We're going to go back to chapter 11. You have to understand what's going on in chapter 11 to understand the importance of this account, this illustration that the Lord has given. If we go back to Mark chapter 11 and look at verse 1, now bear with me, I'll be a little wordy to start with. But you understand, I got to lay a foundation here. So in verse 1, notice what it says. When they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Now, I'm going to have to stop and explain, so I don't want to lose you, because understanding what's going on helps us understand what's going on with this fig tree. So he's getting ready to go into Jerusalem. He's been to Jerusalem before, but this is what we call his triumphal entry. He is presenting himself as the promised Messiah King to the people. This is at the end of 3.5 years of ministry. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. He's going forward, presenting himself as king. Verse 2. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied where never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in the place where the two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus commanded, and they let him go. Now notice verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, on the colt, and he sat Jesus on him. So Jesus is now upon this colt. He's got the garments there. He's going to be riding the colt into Jerusalem. Verse 8. And many spread their garments in the way in front of this colt. And others cut down branches. This is where you get the idea of Palm Sunday. And others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. So it's like this kind of a red carpet treatment as he's coming into Jerusalem. And they that went before him, and they that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It's a big triumphal entry. People, the things are thrown out here in front of them. Jesus is riding in the colt. It's a grand scheme, grand scene. That's the word I want. Grand scene going on. People crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's a big thing happening. Verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. That's important right there. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out of Bethany with the 12. Right there is the crux of what's happening. He goes in, looks around, nothing, and he leaves. What you find here in Mark chapter 11, that Jesus enters as the Messiah King. All that's going on is done on purpose. The Jews had a lot of prophecies about their Messiah King coming. One of those prophecies would be how he would come to Jerusalem and come to the temple. It's a little bit better explained in the book of Matthew. So let me just flip over real fast to a verse in Matthew. Same event, same account, just a little bit more detail. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken the prophet saying, now here is the prophecy. Tell you the daughter of Sion. Now notice, behold thy what? King cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Every Jew knew this prophecy. They saw him coming. He comes to the temple, and it's crickets. Looks around. They're just doing their own thing. Oblivious to him. He turns, and he leaves. Now, they were busy in the temple. And the Lord came to his temple. This is the Lord's temple. They should have been excited. They were busy. They were doing a lot of stuff. Go back to Mark 11. Look at verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And they would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel to the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, "It is it not written, my house, His temple. My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. And you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people, and was astonished at his doctrine. There was a lot of things going on in the temple. A lot of business going on. A lot of activity going on. We're going to tell you this, it was all for show. They're just going through motions. The Messiah King himself showed up in the temple, and they were so busy in their rituals, or so busy in their actions, they ignored Jesus, ignored God, ignored the Messiah, but they continued on in their show, all the things that they're doing. That brings us back to the fig tree. This was the issue with the fig tree. Go back with me to Mark 11. If you understand that, now you're going to understand what's going on in the fig tree. Verse 12, tomorrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. He had a need, a desire for something. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, notice that, having leaves. Now, this may not be familiar to you, so let me explain. A fig tree is a unique tree. Most of our trees, we see leaves, and after the leaves, then you see fruit, right? Fig tree is different. Fig tree, fruit comes first, leaves come next. You see, if there's leaves, the fruit should already be there. Leaves are a sign that there's fruit. So when Jesus saw leaves, he had every right to expect fruit. Just like when he came to the temple, he had every right to expect people to say, there's the Messiah, there's the King. He had every right to expect it, and nothing happened. He comes to this fig tree. There's leaves. He has every right to look and say, there's got to be fruit here because I see the show. I see what's going on. I see the outward appearance. But there's no fruit. There's no fig. Then it says this, just so you understand, so you're not confused. It says, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. What that means is this, not that there was not, it was not time to bear figs yet. That means there's the time of figs is the time of harvest. In other words, they hadn't had harvest yet. There's no reason for there not to be figs there. He saw the leaves. There should be figs. The harvest hasn't happened yet because it's early in the season. He had every right to go to that tree, expect there to be fruit, and there's none. And when you see the fig tree, that was the Jewish people. They both had leaves. They both had a good show. They both had outward appearance. They both knew how to look the part. But neither were productive. Neither had fruit. And the judgment there upon the fig tree was simply an illustration that judgment was coming upon those people. Because he's saying, you got leaves, but no fruit. And just like this fig tree has been cursed and judgment has come upon it, judgment is coming upon these Jewish people because they have all of the show. They have the temple. They have the rituals. They have the offerings. They have the priests. They have the sacrifices. They have the priests are coming out in their robes and they're buying the, that's the money changers. They're exchanging money so they have money, and that money is temple money. They can give an offering. So offerings are taken up and they're buying these animals. They have sacrifices. Sacrifices. It looks like it's a ritual, a religious place, busy place. They're doing all these things, but when God shows up, they're totally oblivious to him. It's all for show. It's just all appearance. There's nothing really deep down happening. Now, from that, I think this morning, there's three lessons we can learn and apply to our life. I want you to notice with me as we go through this morning, three things. First thing would be this. It is time to look to Jesus. They didn't have time, but it is time to look to Jesus. What's interesting about this account, now I want you to listen, I'm going to give you a little bit more detail. This whole account, this triumphal entry, Jesus coming into the temple, the cursing of the fig tree, it all happened around a particular time that what we call the Passover, the Jews call the Passover. The Passover was one of the highest holidays for the Jews. The Passover was when the Israelites, when the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. And God is going to deliver them. He's going to deliver them with a high and mighty hand. And the final 10th plague upon Egypt is the death of the firstborn. You ever hear about that? Those 10 plagues? And God said, I'm going to send a death angel. And every firstborn child is going to die. And the Israelites say, whoa, what about our kids? He said, I'm going to tell you what you do. You take a male lamb. You take this lamb without blemish, no spot, no problem. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. A male lamb without blemish. And you take that male lamb and you kill that male lamb. And you take that lamb's blood and you apply the lamb. The lamb had to die. The blood had to be shed. The blood had to be applied. All this is talking about salvation. Jesus died. He shed his blood, and his blood has to be applied to your heart. It's not enough that Jesus died. It's not enough that he just died for you. You have to take him personally as your Savior. And he said, you take that male lamb, you take that blood, you put it on the doorpost, and when the death angel comes, he will pass over your house because he sees the blood. This was one of the highest holy days, holiest feast times for the Jewish people. It's all about the lamb. It's all about the Passover lamb, which represented Jesus. Everything they're doing during Passover is pointing to Jesus. And when Jesus shows up, they don't have time for him. The Passover lamb's there. But they're ignoring him. They're looking away. They're not making time for Jesus. Everything about all that's going on was a picture of that Messiah. Shows up, and when they should have been looking to the Messiah, he goes unnoticed. In other words, let me just say it this way. Passover had just become a religious ritual. It was a time to show up, show off, but not a time for Jesus. And can I say this morning? It's really no different than us sometimes. People come for Christmas. They'll show up, show off, but really no time for Jesus the rest of the year. Easter's that way. People show up, show off, no time for Jesus. And the Lord's saying, I'm here. I'm the Passover lamb. I'm here right now. Make time. It's time to look to Jesus right now. Now, my question to you this morning, you are in church and you showed up, and I'm glad you did. But can I ask you this morning, are you looking to Jesus? Or is all this just for a show? Are you just going through the motions? Are you just putting on the dog? It's just, you got the leaves out there, you look real good, but is there fruit? Is it really something sincere? Is it something you're really desiring? Is there something real in your life? How about your salvation this morning? Are you looking to Jesus? Are you looking to some church? Some action that you're going to perform, some work you're going to do? Are you looking to yourself? Are you looking to church? Are you looking to some man? Are you looking to Jesus? To me, the saddest thing is this, is people who come to church and sometimes even grow up in church and never are born again people. Because we convince ourselves, but preacher, you don't understand. I have the right Bible. I have the right clothes. I have the right music. I have the right words. I know all the right times to say amen. I have it all. You're right. You have great leaves, but you have no fruit. You don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's what he desires. I'm not saying the leaves are bad. We're not criticizing the leaves. There's nothing wrong with the leaves on the tree. The problem was leaves are great, but is there any fruit? Is there anything sincere? Is there anything real in your life? Where's the fruit? It's time to look to Jesus. He said about your salvation. Let me ask you this. How about your needs? Are we looking to Jesus this morning for our needs? It happens now. It happens all the time. It seems like it's a constant news cycle now. Something else is going on in the government, and people are all, oh, what's going to happen? I'm not trying to be unkind, okay? I'm not trying to say the government doesn't have a place. I'm not trying to make it political. I'm going to be very clear about this. As born-again people, why do we get all flummoxed when the government is shut down or the government isn't doing that? Why are we looking to the government for their needs and for our help? Oh, preacher, if the government doesn't send me out a check, I'm going to starve. Is there not a God in heaven? Can we not pray and can we have our needs met? Mrs. Wyatt said she had two prayer answers to prayer. The truth is, all of us should be able to say, and God answered this prayer, and God answered that prayer. And we ought to have answers to prayer. And we ought to say, God meets my needs. If someone's disabled, and I understand, and they get some type of disability, we're not criticizing that. We're not attacking them. We're simply saying, as born-again people, where does the Lord come into this? Are we looking to Him? Jesus shows up, and we're busy doing all these things. They'll have no time for Jesus. They say, Lord, I need You. I have needs, and I need Your help today. Are we looking to Jesus? Why don't we decide this morning that that's who we're going to look to on every day? Looking to Jesus to provide for our needs. Looking to Jesus to help raise our kids. Looking to Jesus to keep us safe and secure. Looking to Jesus to bless our lives. Looking to Jesus to give a purpose for our life. Let me tell you a sad verse. Book of Revelation chapter 3. I want you to look at this verse, and I want to explain it to you, because we apply it to salvation. It can be applied that way, but that's not what the main teaching here. He says this. Here's what Jesus said. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about His church. We talk about God standing at the door of your heart, and He's knocking, wanting to come in. That's true. He wants to save you. I'm not denying that. But that verse is specifically talking about Jesus is standing at the door of the church knocking. If you go through the book of Revelation, those first three chapters, you go through seven churches. You get to the seventh church, the church of Laodicea, and you get to a church that's so watered down, so caught up in the world, and so lukewarm, so callous, so carnal, that Jesus Himself can't find a place in that church. He's outside the church knocking, trying to get into His own church. They don't have time for Him. They got the programs. They got the ministries. They got all the community things going on. They're all happy. They got games playing. And Jesus outside knocking. Hey, can I come in for a while? We don't have time for Jesus. We got time for all kinds of things. No time for Jesus. And that's what He's talking about. I stand at the door. I'm knocking. I want to come in. We make time for Jesus in our life. We make time in Jesus for our church. We make time in Jesus for our family. So I tell you this morning, it's time to look to Jesus. He shows up. He's here. He's presenting Himself as the Messiah King, and they're all busy doing other things. No time to look to Him. That's the first lesson we learned this morning. Here's the second thing we learned. Number two is this. Forget about the leaves and focus on the fruit. And by that I mean this. If you truly, now let me just say this. If you truly have the right fruit, you'll have the right leaves. Because there is a natural progression of growth. And it will eventually, what's inside will eventually come out, good or bad. That's what the Bible is very clear. What's in the heart eventually comes out. But can I tell you this? But just because it's outward doesn't mean it's really in the heart. Because you can put on the dog for a while. You can have nice looking leaves. You can wrap yourself in the nicest leaves, but really not the fruit inside. And so as a Christian, as a born again person, we start saying, Lord, help me to be sincere. Help me to be right. Help me really to love You. Help me really to be true about these. I don't want to come to church and pretend to be something and then go home and live totally different than that. I want to be, what you see on Sunday is what you ought to see on Monday. What you see in church is what you ought to see at work. What you see is going on when around Christian people is what you see when I'm going around even unsaved people and lost people. Why is it this? We come on a Sunday, okay, it's time to bow our head and pray, and we all bow our head and pray, but when you go out to eat, you're around a bunch of lost people, and someone says, let's bow your head to eat, and you're like, well, I don't know, there's people be looking at me. Who cares? Honor the Lord in all things, no matter where you're at. So we need to decide this. I'm going to live for the fruit. I'm going to make Christ real in my life. We have to quit trying to convince, now listen to me, quit trying to convince people you're a Christian and just start living like a Christian. Most of the time, if you're living like a Christian, they're going to say, hey, something different about you. They may not like it, but they're going to say something different about you. Why? Because you're living that way. Now, these Jews, they were super particular about their leaves. They were, in fact, if you go through the book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what? They had issues with Jesus because Jesus didn't have the right leaves. They said, Jesus, wait a minute. Your disciples aren't washing their hands. Wait a minute, Jesus, you can't do that. Wait a minute. They had problems with Jesus because Jesus' leaves weren't good enough. They were particular. They said, here's the right leaves, and we got the right leaves, and we look the right part, and we have all these things. But they had no fruit, no true spiritual fruit. In Mark 7, in fact, if you'll turn back with me to Mark 7, you're in Mark 11. Just turn back a few pages. In Mark 7... Now, if I were to read the whole thing, I'd start in verse 5, read down to verse number 16. I'll start in verse 5. I may skip through. But I want you to give you a flavor of these verses. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, Jesus, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? Now, I don't mean like you tell your kids, wash your hands before you eat. They had a big ritual. Their washing hands was ritual. The way they held it and the way the water, it was a big ritual thing. And they weren't doing the ritual. It's not that they were having dirty hands. They didn't do the ritual of washing hands. That's the issue. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as is written, this people honors me with their lips, but what? Their heart is far from me. Great leaves, no fruit. That's what he's saying. Man, you know how to talk it. Man, you know the right words to say. Boy, you know how to impress people. But God looks on your heart and says, but you're nowhere near me. It's all words. It's all for show. No fruit. Have you ever been to Cedar Point? You'll see some of these places you go, and they'll draw your picture. And they'll do what's called a caricature. You know what a caricature is? It's you, but it's not you. It's you, but you're deformed, kind of. You're kind of silly looking. And the idea is, it's supposed to be humorous. And so they try to make you like in two kind of cartoonish type things. It's you, but it's really not you. It's just a caricature of you. Can I tell you this morning? Much of today's Christianity is a caricature of true Christianity. There's a resemblance. Yeah, there's some things similar. You read the Bible and you see what people are doing. There's a similarity. But it's misshapen. It's deformed. It's really a big joke. That's why you say, well, preacher, why is our nation walking away from God? Let me tell you why. Because they look at us and they think it's a big joke. Because they hear some goofball on the TV talking about Jesus. Jesus, put your hand here, and Jesus will help you. And Jesus. And then they find out that this guy is having affairs, and he's stealing money. He's living a reprobate life. And they say, what a joke that is. You'll find in our society, we have had several watersheds. One is when we kicked God out of the school and said, we don't need you anymore. And God said, we'll check on that. He looked down the road. Listen, God knew what was going on. Yeah. Okay, when I was a kid, people took guns to school all the time. I'm from West Virginia. There were guns in cars. Who knows what weapons are. No one ever thought about using them. Now it's like, man, let me tell you, it's not even, if you heard tomorrow someone went to a school with a gun and shot someone, you wouldn't even be surprised. You'd be like, yeah, it's another one. And let me tell you what happened. We've created schools into these jungles because we kicked God out of it. That's a big watershed event. Let me tell you another watershed event. The situation with Jimmy Baker and the PTL. Because he was in people's face across TV. And people said, what a scam. And he gave every Christian a black eye. They said, all it is outward. It's all it is leaves. There's nothing real. There's no fruit. It's just a big joke. It's a caricature. Now, we can't do much about Jimmy Baker. Can't do much about the PTL. We can do something about our own Christian life. Let me ask you this morning, are we wrapping our carnality in a costume of Christianity? Is that what we're doing? Because if you are and you're wondering why it's working, let me tell you why. Because that's not what the Lord wants. You can fool your family, you can fool your friends, you can even fool other Christians. But Jesus is going to come, he's going to look at your leaves and say, well, what nice leaves you got. And you're going to move the leaves and say, but I don't see any fruit. And he's going to bring judgment upon you. Forget about the leaves. Focus on the fruit. Let me show you the third lesson this morning. It's time to look to Jesus. Forget about the leaves. Focus on the fruit. Here's lesson three. Third thing we see is this. An outward pretension. This show. An outward pretension will not prevent inward destruction. If you look again in our text in Mark chapter 11... and you go down to verse 20, notice what it says. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. From the roots. The leaves on the outside did not stop the destruction that came from the very depths of its roots. So, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm trying to get across. Your relationship with Christ, or lack of relationship, will eventually be the determining factor of your Christian life. If the roots aren't in Christ, you're not going to make it. You can paint those leaves up. You can take them and staple them to yourself. Make them look like you have all these nice leaves. But if the roots are not in Christ, you're not going to make it. You make it for a while, but you won't make it for long. If you're not rooted in Christ, your roots are going to dry up. Now, what's interesting is this. The disciples were shocked about how fast it happened. They came one day and they said, look, there's a tree and look at the leaves and look how nice it is. And Jesus said, there's no fruit here. The next day they come and the whole thing's dried up. Boom, just that fast. Can I tell you? That is how judgment of the Lord comes. Let me tell you probably the biggest mistake we make. We get cocky and arrogant. And let me tell you what sin does. Sin emboldens you. You tell a lie and you got away with it. And you're like, I'm pretty good at this. And so you tell another lie and you got away with it. And you tell another lie. And that sin emboldens you. But eventually, all those lies are going to be found out, and boom, just like that, you're going to fall on your face. Suddenly destroyed. See, we play with sin, and the sin emboldens us, and we play more, and we play more, and we play more. And people are like, oh, what a good person. Oh, they're such a good person. But you know what's going on in your heart. And before you know it, just like this, it's going to be boom, and you're going to fall on your face. And they're going to say, what happened? I mean, today they were in church, and yesterday they seemed to be living for the Lord, and now, boom, and everything is gone. Let me tell you, because you were playing those games and playing those games, and those leaves were just leaves, and there was no fruit, and there was no rooting in Christ, and boom, it's all gone. One day leaves, next day dried up roots. When the roots are not in Christ, when it's all for show and just pretending and going through with it, you're the person who wavers on the crowd. If the crowd does this, you do that. If the crowd does that, you do that. Because you have no roots in Christ. You're just like a tumbleweed. You're just tumbling along. And we talk about teenagers this way. Adults are no different. You get out in a group and they're all talking about Jesus. You're talking about Jesus. And man, you're happy to talk about Jesus. I mean, you're happy. That's great. But you get in this crowd over here, and they're all talking about worldly, carnal stuff, telling shady jokes or outright filthy jokes, cussing, and you're right in with them. And you're happy because you have no roots in Christ. You're just a tumbleweed tumbling along. And your destruction's coming because you can pretend those leaves only for so long, and if the roots are not there, utter destruction will come. Jesus rides in on the donkey. And they're yelling, Hosanna! 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 A few days later, he's there with Pilate, and they're yelling, crucify him! Crucify him! How? Because they never were rooted in Christ. It was the emotion of the moment. Now, some people might have been sincere. Let me tell you what happened to some of them. Let me tell you. Just same thing happens in church. Okay, you come to church, and if everyone's singing about Jesus, then you're singing about Jesus. But if no one else is singing, well, then you're not, because you're just kind of watching what everyone else is doing. You just kind of go with the flow. Same thing happened here. Some guy probably was standing there, and there comes a guy on a donkey. And here he heard people saying, Hosanna! So he's like, Hosanna. Hosanna! He said, Hosanna. They said, Hosanna! He said, Hosanna! 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 He was right with them. Then a little bit later, he's there, and there's Jesus before Pilate, and they're saying, crucify him. He's like, crucify him. He's like, wow, that's pretty rough. Crucify him. He's like, yeah, crucify him. Crucify him. Yeah, crucify him. Crucify him. Yeah, crucify him. Crucify him. He was just going to the crowd. Because it's all for show. No fruit. Not rooted in Christ. It's a dangerous thing to put on an outward show, but never have a true relationship with Christ. So, preacher, what's the answer? You told us the problem. So what? What's the answer? There's a two-part answer. Here's the first part. Forget about the leaves. Forget about impressing people. Forget about pretending to be something you're not. Get over this all the time. Well, what are they doing? Well, they're doing it, I'm doing it. If they're not, I'm not. Say, you know, what does the Bible say? What does God want? If I'm the only one that does it, I'll be the only one. If I'm the only one going soul winning, I'll be the only one soul winning. If I'm the only one praying, I'll be the only one praying. If I'm the only one living holy, I'll be the only one living holy. Because this is what the Bible says. I'm not trying to impress people. I'm not trying to pretend something I'm not. I want to be sincere and real before the Lord. Which brings us to the second part. Forget about the leaves. And the second thing is this. Focus on having fruit. Keep looking to Jesus. Friends walk away and say, well, I used to like you, but you're no fanatic. Okay, let me, in 2013, here's fanaticism. You go to church, you try to live right, you try to pay your bills, you try to be a good family person, and you try to order your life according to the Bible. Now all of a sudden you're in a cult. Wow, you're a fanatic. No, it used to be called doing right. Living a Christian life. Problem is our world is so wicked and so far off now that we do look kind of fanatic. You're not in the bars, you're not smoking dope, you're not cussing, you're not cheating on your spouse. So yeah, we do look kind of strange to the world. But you do right. Keep looking to Jesus. Decide that you're going to be in this book on a regular basis, because that's how you get rooted in Christ. Find time to talk to him. Tell him your problems. Can I tell you? Telling your problems on Facebook is not the answer. Well, everyone agrees with me, but they can't do anything about it. Where's Jesus fit into this? Bring your needs to him. Look to Jesus. Read his word. Talk to him. And then decide to live a faithful, steadfast Christian life. I'll give you one story and I'm done. There's a great victory. And the king is going to, or they're going to send a message to the king. The general's going to send a message to the king. He writes the message down on a piece of paper and he hands it to person number one. He says, "Now I want you to take this message and get it to the king." So the guy says, "Okay, I'm going to get this to the king." He takes off running. The other guy says, "Hey, send me, send me, send me. I'm faster, send me." He said, "No, he's got the message. I don't care, send me." He said, "Fine, go." And the guy took off. He ran right past that guy. He gets there, and the guy says, "What's the message?" He said, "Oh no, don't got one." And here comes the other guy. He finally gets there. He's 49, takes a while. Pulls out the message, and the guy says, "Okay. You know what? We want to be the jackrabbit. We want to be the show. Hey, look at me, I'm fast. Yeah, you're here, but you have nothing. I'd rather be that steadfast Christian. Maybe not the most impressive. They're not always clapping for me, but I'm trying to do right. I'm just keeping at it, keeping at it, keeping at it, keeping at it. Trying to be a fruitful Christian. Letting those leaves come in due time." So I ask you a question this morning. Is it all for show? Let's pray together.